In this week's show, we're exploring the impact of the passage of time on our games and on the people who play them and on the people who watch them. Lots of the most accomplished athletes begin understanding themselves as dedicated athletes when they're still children. So it was fun to speak this week with Amy Chow, who was a member of the so-called Magnificent Seven team of gymnasts who won gold at the Atlanta Olympics in 1996. She knew from the time she was a small child that she wanted to be a doctor.
Apparently, my mom told me when I was, eight or something, I had finished going to the doctor, and I told her that I wanted to be a pediatrician when I grew up. So it always had been in the back of my mind, even while I was training.
Dr. Chow, now a pediatrician in California, was referring to her training as a gymnast. She also trained as a pianist and as a diver, and somewhere along the line, she became a pretty good pole vaulter, all the while excelling in school, which her parents made a priority even over gymnastics. That's a strategy with which former Ohio State football star Maurice Claret has come to agree, belatedly.
Ain't nothing wrong with getting an education. If you made it from your neighborhood and you made it on campus and all you did was basically play to the end of Florida State and you got a real education, not no bull classes, that's cool.
That was part of the message recorded by ESPN that Claret delivered recently to the members of the football team at Florida State. It was a lesson he'd learned after failing to take advantage of the educational opportunities he might have had and sabotaging his football career by fighting with his coaches, among other missteps. Eventually, he went to prison for armed robbery. Now he's advising young male athletes to do as he says rather than as he did. Tim McCormick, who played in the NBA for 10 years, now runs the Rookie Transition Program sponsored by the NBA Players Association. The idea of the rookie program and programs for players leaving the NBA is to help them explore careers within and beyond the game. They have the opportunity to learn about not only coaching, but real estate investment and franchising. The programs are designed to help players understand that time will pass, probably more quickly than they anticipate, and that they will have lots of time when their careers in the NBA end to do something else.
That's the reality. Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, everybody gets another job because people are so competitive. You don't want to live a life of playing golf and laying by the pool for the next 40 or 50 years. I think, you know, it sounds good for an off season, but it's not a real good reality for our players to think that that's the way the future is going to be.
Most ex-NBA players don't have the specific talents evident in the post-basketball work of those three gentlemen. Jordan is a marketing giant, while Russell and Abdul-Jabbar have risen above their basketball achievements as spokespeople for causes much larger than the game. But lots of ex-NBA players are lifetime athletes, trying to figure out what comes next. A few years ago, Antoine Walker was among them. A three-time All-Star, Walker played for 12 seasons. During that time and shortly thereafter, he took on the responsibility for supporting about 70 family members and friends, made bad investments, began gambling in a big way, and lost $110 million. Eventually, he pleaded guilty to charges that he'd written bad checks. Walker went through the NBA's rookie program, and he doesn't feel it covers the necessary ground as far as handling money is concerned.
I think you have to bring Antoine Walker and other guys of my type out and let these guys have real stories. I think you can put a financial firm in front of them, and that's great. But you need to let these guys hear real stories, real life situations. Then it hits home. I think if they're not able to do that and they shy away from that, then it will never make a difference.
These days, Antoine Walker speaks to athletes and entertainers on behalf of the Global Sports and Entertainment Financial Education Program, established by Morgan Stanley. His message isn't complicated.
You get a lot of money at an early age, and you don't understand and know what to do with it. And we don't think for the future. I think that's the biggest thing. We don't think for being 35, 40 years old, because we're 18, 19, 20 years old, and we think we're going to make money forever.
Walker found the league wasn't interested in counseling him on the way out.
Kind of thrown to the wolves, and I understand that. I get that wholeheartedly. We know we all make mistakes, but they pretty much, you know, you're on your own after that.
Tim McCormick of the NBA Players Association feels the only players who have to feel they're entirely on their own when their careers end, and most of them end after only a few seasons, are the players who choose not to take advantage of the programs McCormick is offering. He suggests that time has increased the options open to players leaving the NBA. That makes sense. It seems to have changed everything else about our games.